Welcome back. It's Maryland Morning on 88.1 WIPR. I'm Tom Hall. Glad you're with us. It's time now for another edition of Smart Nutrition. Today, Americans and our love affair with meat. We eat 3 times more beef, chicken, and pork per person than the global average, according to the UN Food and Agriculture Organization. And despite plenty of recent evidence that eating red and processed meats can increase our risk of cancer and chronic disease, overall meat consumption has continued to rise in the United States, as it has in other developed countries. But enough people are worried about the health effects of a meat-rich diet, about the environmental and ethical aspects of meat production, to say nothing about what we serve our vegetarian guests when they come to dinner, that they're driving a fast-growing multi-billion dollar global market for plant-based meat and dairy substitutes. So think soy burgers and vegan cheese. So putting aside how these products taste, to help us figure out whether these products are actually better for us in the long run, we're joined by our nutrition diva, Monica Reinagle. She's a licensed nutritionist who blogs at nutritionovereasy.com. Hey, Monica, how you doing?
Good morning, Tom.
So this alternative to meat stuff, these meat substitutes, this is a thing, isn't it? This is like a big thing. The market share of these products is growing exponentially.
It is, and I notice it seemingly on a week-to-week basis at the grocery store, the amount of shelf spaces that is starting to be given over to these products. And I think what's really interesting here is that the number of what I think of as full-time vegetarians, you know, really committed 100% vegetarians, has not really changed in the last couple of decades. It's still hovering around 5%. But the percentage of people who sometimes eat meat that will also choose vegetarian entrees and alternatives has grown so much. So it used to be that nobody except the vegetarians was over there looking at those meat substitutes. And now a lot of shoppers are over there poking around to see what's new and trying things out and serving them on an occasional basis. And I think that's what's driving the big growth in this market.
And it's a huge market. I mean, they predict $4 billion worth of this stuff will be sold next year, and perhaps getting that number up to $5 billion by 2020. So there's a lot of incentive to develop these products, and they're developing fake everything.
And they're getting better. I mean, the selection and the variety is getting better, but also the ones, I sample a lot of them because I'm curious about it. I'm kind of a part-time vegetarian, so I'm interested to see what's out there. And I feel like the texture, the taste, the flavor, the appearance is just getting steadily better and better and better. Now, these are not unprocessed foods, you know, these...
Right. I mean,
there's a lot of manipulation going on here.
Is this a better world through chemistry? I mean, how are they making this stuff better?
Well, it's there's a lot of ingredients, and there's a product that is red hot right now. In fact, it's so red hot that I haven't been able to get my hands on yet, called the Beast Burger. And this is a meat, like a soy burger. It's actually made out of pea protein that you actually buy as raw ground beef. And it looks just like raw beef, and you can cook it on the grill, and you know, and I can't say how it tastes because I can't get my hands on it, but you know, soon. But people say that it's really amazing. But when you look at the ingredient list, there's about, you know, 40 ingredients in this thing, you know, water and pea protein and a lot of starches and gums and various things, not necessarily harmful, but this is not an unprocessed food.
Yeah, it certainly isn't. And generally speaking, they are healthier than, I mean, a Beast Burger would be a healthier thing than a hamburger. And that's because, I mean, first of all, we've talked about how when you grill anything, it increases the level of carcinogens in that product.
When you grill animal products, not when you grill vegetables. So from that perspective, it would be a way to have that backyard barbecue without incurring that particular threat. I think there are a lot of reasons that people are interested in it, to reduce their consumption of meat, maybe by replacing one or two meat items, you know, a week with an alternative. But also people are increasingly concerned with the impact on the environment, as you mentioned earlier, that the amount of meat that we're consuming creates a lot of greenhouse gases. And by, you know, going with the veggie alternatives, you can kind of lower your carbon footprint.
How about fat, calories, that kind of stuff? Are they, generally speaking, lower than, you know, red meat or things you might eat instead?
Sometimes, especially these soy and pea protein-based, they're kind of comparable because they use other sources of fat to replace them. They're usually healthier sources of fat. They might be, you know, olive oil or canola oil or something like that instead of the beef tallow that's in a beef burger. But usually they're somewhat comparable. They're reasonably high in protein. So as a nutritional substitute, they make a pretty good swap. That's not always the case, though. There's another popular meat substitute that's made out of jackfruit. And this is a tropical fruit. We don't know
I've never heard of jackfruit. That's a new one on me.
Yeah, and maybe if we went out to H Mart, you know, we might be able to find them there, but I don't see them in my Giant on York Road. But it's a starchy, sort of unsweet kind of fruit that grows in Asia, and apparently its texture is just perfect, and it's been transformed. There's a few different brands using jackfruit to make things like pulled pork and barbecue and these kinds of highly seasoned meat products. Apparently, it's a great substitute in terms of flavor and texture. However, it has almost no protein in it. So that, if you were trying to kind of do a one-for-one in terms of the nutritional benefit, that might not be such a great swap.
Monica Reinagle is the Nutrition Diva on 88.1. It's our Smart Nutrition segment here on Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. It's amazing to me the vast variety of products that they're making. I mean, I've heard of Emmentaler cheese that is vegan or you know non-dairy
yeah.
cheese. So they're not bashful about trying to replicate stuff that, you know, has been in diets for centuries.
The cheese had been especially interesting to watch. There's a lot of vegan cheese out there. And of course, they all make big promises. And sometimes, in my opinion, they fail to deliver. And they might be made with nut milks. Like there's some, I saw a vegan brie that was fairly creditable that was made from cashew milk. But you'll also find things that are just like an alternative to a sliced American cheese that you could make a grilled cheese sandwich for your kid that's made out of things like potato starch or tapioca starch and some coconut oil to hold it all together. You know, I don't think that you would mistake it for cheese, but there's another issue there too, and that is that because it doesn't contain any dairy and it's made mostly with coconut oil and tapioca starch, it contains virtually no protein and no calcium. And those are the two things that, you know, we're used to getting from cheese. We don't need to get them from cheese. They're available from other sources. But cheese is the number two source of calcium in the American diet. And so if we're replacing that with a calcium-free version of vegan cheese, we just need to remember like, okay, then I need to make sure my kids are mm-hmm. getting their calcium from another source. But we've been trained in this country to think of dairy as our go-to fallback source of calcium very effectively. That is where we get our calcium from. So when we make those alternatives, we just want to be mindful of where we need to then be supplementing the diet with other foods that are high in calcium.
So clearly we're a long way from, you know, tofu turkey. I mean, you know,
yes.
And I'll admit I was party to a tofu turkey back in the 90s and stuff. I haven't done one since then. But
I'm waiting for the tofu turducken.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is really interesting stuff. Vegan fish. I mean, all this stuff, it exists.
Yeah, you can buy
it.
Canned tuna that is actually made again out of pea protein. They do an amazing job.
That's wild yeah. stuff. Wild stuff. Okay, always good to see you, Monica. Thanks so much. We'll see you next time.
My pleasure.
Monica Reinagle is the Nutrition Diva. She's a licensed nutritionist who blogs at nutritionovereasy.com. We've got links to Monica's blog and more information about meat substitutes on our website, wipr.org/Maryland Morning. That's it for us today. Coming up Friday morning, a conversation with Howard County Executive Alan Kittleman on the status of historic Ellicott City following the devastating flood there 3 weeks ago. Hope you can join us. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great day.
I know that you feel better when you send us in your letter and tell us the name of your favorite.